hello and happy Sabbath to everyone. Welcome to our guests. It's good to have you with us. We appreciate that you came all this way. We hope you'll be able to stay with us for a while after services as well. So, also welcome to anybody on the webcast, including Mr. Martins, who's not feeling well today. We hope you're able to tune in and everything's going okay. Let's turn to John chapter 9 to start. John chapter 9. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed, and came back seeing. Now as a result of this, the Pharisees were a little upset. They were quite upset. They, just in short, saw Jesus as a sinner, as a breaker of the Sabbath, because this was done on the Sabbath day. And they were just inquiring of this man, what was going on? What did he think about this Jesus? And so forth and so on. And so now we'll go to verse 24. So they again called the man, the Pharisees called the man, who was blind, and said to him, Give God the glory. We know that this man, that would be Jesus, is a sinner. He, that would be the man who is now could see, answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, Why, this is a marvelous thing, this is amazing, that you do not know where he is from. Yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. And pay attention to this. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Now, in that interim area, he had actually, when he was first questioned, he kind of thought this Jesus was a prophet, a righteous prophet. He didn't know he was the Savior. But he said that no sinner could do this. And of course, we all can look back and know that, of course, Jesus was no sinner. So, of course, he could do this. But that's not what this man was speaking from, not from that perspective. He was speaking from the perspective of a man who was being accused of being a sinner. How could he be being able to heal? Was this blind man correct when he says in verse 31 that God does not hear sinners? He doesn't say God hears sinners less or hears sinners sometimes or when he feels like it. He declared clearly, God does not hear sinners. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Let's see if he's right. Proverbs chapter 15. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Now that's not direct. It says he does hear the prayer of the righteous. He says he's far. What does that mean? Can he hear a little bit? You know, what does that mean? Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 59. And we'll read in verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. That's really clear. He will not hear their wickedness, living in wickedness, and their sinning. These scriptures and a number of others prove this man's word to be true. He was properly announcing that no sinner could do what this Jesus had done. God does not hear the prayers of the unrighteous. All right. Okay, that... Well, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you in the last week... We'll just stick to the week. Okay, we won't talk about today. Just last week. Did not sin at all. I want you to raise your hand. There is nobody. None of you have raised your hand. Everyone has sinned. I didn't raise my hand either. Okay, well, what do we do? Throw up our hands? We just heard God doesn't hear our prayers if we're sinners, right? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Let's look into this a little bit. Let's go to verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. This is John writing. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, he being God. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now notice here we see the one who practices righteousness is righteous. Okay, now, the word practice is not in the next statement, but it's the contrary to that. You can see that the person who practices unrighteousness is unrighteousness. Verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. And that scripture has been used a lot to say it's impossible for a Christian to sin at all. But again, we're talking about the practice. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Here again, we see another adamant statement that goes so far as to say that a person born of God cannot sin. But we also see the clarification that this person who cannot sin is practicing righteousness. Now, we all know that practice, you know, you've heard the phrase practice makes perfect. Well, I don't know if it makes perfect, but we're only going to be perfect if we practice eventually, and not necessarily by our own power. Practice makes perfect? Well, I don't know. Let's go to 1 John, just back a couple of chapters to chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, we'll read in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. Now remember, he's saying this before he said what I just spoke, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Okay, so walking in darkness is a practice. Walking. It's a way. You're going in a direction. We walk in darkness, we're liars and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, okay, remember what He said just a little later? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So having that in mind, if you were to read chapter 3, you would know He wasn't meaning what it sounds like right off from words, the words alone. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here is a key to how the man is righteous, right? Living a righteous, sinless life, because he has a connection with God. The woman has a connection with God that when they realize they have sinned and they are sorry and they repent and they turn from that sin, it's forgotten. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and God can't lie. And His word is not in us. So we don't want to try to make God a liar. So what we see from this is that people do, who are followers of God, followers of Jesus Christ, they do sin. But they are not practicing sin. They are walking in righteousness. And when they fail, they ask God's forgiveness. And He does. Because they're sincerely seeking His way. You see, what they're doing is they're following all of the criteria we've all followed for coming out of this world and giving our lives to God. The gospel was given and we believed. The truth of God was given and we believed. If we go back to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. That would mean God is perfect. God never makes a mistake. What do you have to do? You have to believe that. I have to believe that. That's part of the gospel. That God is righteous and perfect. All the other aspects of the gospel. Jesus is the Son of God from Romans 10. The Savior, our Redeemer, John 4. Kingdom of God that He claimed would come. Matthew 6:33, seek it first and everything else will be added to you. That aspect, that is what is needed. And the repentance, Acts 2.38, baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. Okay, raised back out of the water, raised into His life. Given God's Spirit, God put in you. This is what the practicer of righteousness does. And if you go through 1 John 1, verse 5 and 10, many of these aspects are actually in those words. So, does God have a deaf ear to you and to me? We're sinners. Nobody raised their hand. No, He's not deaf. He hears everything. And He hears it in love. And He hears it in patience, no matter how hard we struggle. He knows that we are here to overcome, that we are here to grow, and that we are starting, and we are imperfect. He knew that from the beginning. The grace of God was to come to us in spite of that and call us into His righteousness. Give us the power to have that righteousness by His Spirit. Okay, and that's pretty much the message. I want to end with something that plays off of it, because I want you to chew on it. I want you to think about it. You see, He gracefully, in great kindness, while we were still in our sins, we can look at the days of the Passover and the days of unleavened bread and look at that process of God intervening into the lives of ignorant people who were slaves. That's who He came to, not to people who figured out how to live right before they could go to God. Okay, that's who He came to. All right. And then it was our job to walk out of that, follow him. Okay. So listen to this and see what you think. Chew on this. Don't ever perform these acts of righteousness that I've talked about. Right? You know that God hears you. Okay? Even though you've sinned, because you're practicing righteousness, right? So let's think about that perspective. Don't ever perform acts of righteousness. And that would be any righteousness you can imagine that is scriptural from God. The Ten Commandments, the basics, whether it's the outward appearance of the commandments or whether it's the matters of the heart, feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, those without clothes, and so forth and so on. Don't ever perform acts of righteousness to prove to God you love God. Imagine yourself, just take the story of Israel. For them to have done that, God would have had to somehow, okay, they would have had to become aware of the truth, and God wouldn't have even messed with them till they had practiced the righteousness, right? And we know that God doesn't even give us, except for his calling, we don't really understand righteousness, not the full extent of it. So don't ever perform acts of righteousness to prove to God you love God. God has proved he loved you by calling you. Instead, perform those same acts. I'm not saying don't perform acts of righteousness. Perform those same acts of righteousness because you have believed God. All the promises that help you to overcome. Think about it. The hardest things that you have to overcome, what's going to give you the strength, is to remember that God is promising you an eternal life in purity, in perfection, all joy, no pain, no sorrow, no tears. That's what he's giving us. Those promises are part of what helps us to follow God. But we got to believe him. Okay, so we believed God. We repented of our sins. We've been baptized and received God's Holy Spirit, which works in us. Okay, that Spirit works in us to do the righteousness of God. Is that proving to God you love him? It proves it, right? It does prove it. But not doing it to prove your love for him. Okay, this is complicated in a way. It's words that can get mixed up. You don't see those same works will prove to others that you love God, but not to God. You proved that when you believed him. Okay, you proved that when you gave up your life for Christ and accepted Christ as your Savior. You proved that when you started practicing because you love God. Because God put his Spirit in you to understand his truth. So you do these things out of love for God already. He's already accepted you. Okay, we can have a tendency to sort of feel like, especially when we're not doing things right, when we're having trouble, to then try to... we'll do other things right, and we'll say, okay, I'm okay with God. God will hear me now, or please God, listen to me, I'm trying in some areas. God is with you always. And if you love God, and if you believe in the promises, he will help you through everything, and you will overcome everything. Okay, and that's according to his will and his strength and his power, because he already loves you, because he's already accepted you. Okay, and I know that our sins separate us, right? We're guilty. And when we realize it, it feels bad. But we've got a God who forgives us when we're trying to overcome and do things his way. So keep that in mind when you remember that God does hear you, even though you and I are sinners.